Here's Skip Heitzig to examine a question that just about everyone has pondered at some time or another.
Why do people suffer? Why do well-meaning, God-loving followers of Christ suffer? C.S. Lewis was asked that question one day. Somebody came up to him and said, "Dr. Lewis, why do the righteous suffer?" And his answer was, "Why not? They're the only ones who can handle it."
Make the connection.
You've most likely heard the phrase, no pain, no gain. While the accuracy of that statement has been called into question when it comes to physical exercise, it still holds true when it comes to our spiritual development. Pain is never pleasant, and we'd all like to avoid it if we could. But as Skip Heitzig points out today here on The Connection, pain is often a necessary catalyst in our growth in Christ. We'll explore that more in a moment. But first, if you've never contacted us, we'd like to invite you to do that today. In fact, if you contact us for the first time, we'll send you a free bonus teaching from Skip called The Dark Side of God. Get your free copy when you mention that you're contacting us for the first time when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. While our first reaction to pain is just to wish it would go away, we should also take the time to figure out what we can learn from those painful moments in our life. Stay with us to find out more.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles to the book of Acts, and let's join Skip Heitzig as he shares a story from his childhood, one that you may identify with.
When I was a boy, I hated going to the dentist, which is probably like every other boy or girl that has ever lived. Nobody likes going to the dentist. Now, my dentist had an unusual name, and it fit. He was Dr. Steel, as in nerves of steel. And Dr. Steele came to a point in his career where he decided that Novocaine injections were passé. I'll never forget going to his office one day when he said, "We've got a new product. It's a spray. It's a spray anesthetic. It's topical." And he said, "It works." Well, I must have been his first experiment, because I'm here to tell you, it didn't work. I was in pain, and everybody around heard. Like the patient who looked at his dental bill and he said, "Doc, you're charging me 3 times the normal amount." And the dentist said, "Well, that's true, but you screamed so loud you drove away the other 2 patients. So why is there pain? Why do people suffer? Why do well-meaning, God-loving followers of Christ suffer? C.S. Lewis was asked that question one day. Somebody came up to him and said, "Dr. Lewis, why do the righteous suffer?" And his answer was, "Why not? They're the only ones who can handle it." Well, Paul sure handled a lot of it. We've been looking at his life over the past several weeks. We began by noting the growth of a prominent young rabbinical student trained in Judaism. We saw how angry he was toward Christ, how much he hated the followers of Christ, but we saw his dramatic conversion on the Damascus Road, how God got a hold of him. We then followed him out to the desert, where for 3 years he was under the private instruction of the Holy Spirit. We watched as he came back to Damascus, then to Jerusalem, and there he preached. But we then followed him over to his hometown of Tarsus, where he stayed for about 7 years, up until the time Barnabas invited him to come to Antioch up in Syria. And he began preaching, he began teaching, and from there he went out on his first missionary journey. So we've been tracing his career so far. But if Paul the Apostle were here this morning, I'm sure he would say, but don't forget to tell people about my pain. Indeed, any study in the life of Paul the Apostle demands a serious look at the issue of suffering, because it was so interwoven into Paul's own experience. There's a lot of good books out on the subject, but there's one little section in a Max Lucado book, a chapter called In the Eye of the Storm. And Lucado writes this. See if you can relate to this. There's a window in your heart through which you can see God. Once upon a time, that window was clear. Your view of God was crisp. You could see God as vividly as you could see a gentle valley or a hillside. The glass was clean, the pane unbroken. You knew God. You knew how he worked. You knew what he wanted you to do. No surprises, nothing unexpected. You knew that God had a will, and you continually discovered what it was. But then, suddenly, the window cracked. A pebble broke the window, a pebble of pain. Perhaps that stone struck when you were a child and a parent left home forever. Maybe the rock hit in adolescence when your heart was broken. Maybe you made it into adulthood before the window was cracked. But then the pebble came. Was it a phone call? Was it a letter on your kitchen table? Was it a diagnosis from the doctor? Whatever the pebble's form, the result was the same, a shattered window. The pebble missiled into the pane and broke it. The crash echoed down the halls of your heart. Cracks shot out from the point of impact, creating a spider web of fragmented pieces. And suddenly, God was not so easy to see. The view that had been so crisp had changed. You turned to see God, and his figure was distorted. It was hard to see him through the pain. I have a hunch that that is some of your experience. You had all the answers at one time. Then as life went on, you had questions and then maybe even some doubts. But here's the central issue. What do you do with it? What do you do with the pain, the problems, the hardship, the trials, the suffering? Well, here's what you don't do. You don't apply some quick fix false theology to it. You can't say, I bind all pain and all suffering in Jesus' name. I claim a trouble-free life. Hallelujah. It ain't going to work. It's not biblical. So let's push all of that stuff aside. And let's take a fresh look at this problem through the life of Paul, this great apostle. Now, I've called this message the Seminary of Pain. Nobody'd sign up for that. But too late, we're already in it. And some of us have had advanced degrees in it. We want to look at the curriculum that God gave to Paul in this Seminary of Pain. We want to look at a couple of midterm exams. And then we want to look at his graduation, his ultimate conclusion as he views life through that lens. So I take you to begin in Acts chapter 13, where we look at, in part, some of the curriculum of Paul's life. And as we come into the classroom, you'll notice there were two subjects that Paul took in this Seminary of Pain. He took emotional suffering 101. And physical pain 101. Both were his experience throughout his life. We don't have the time to go through his life. We have just a little bit of time to remark on his first missionary journey, where we have been sort of hovering the last few weeks. So let's look at Acts chapter 13. I take you to verse 44, where we read, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Now, if you're a preacher, that's great. Big crowd. However, notice the next word, but. Anytime you have good news followed by a negative contraction, it means, uh-oh, things are about to change. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. That's called rejection. Now go down to verse 49. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. Here it is again. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. That's, again, rejection. Chapter 14. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude of both Jews and of the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. That's called slander. Now look over at verse 19. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, something to note about this stoning, this physical pain. The stoning of Paul was on the heels of Paul being in this city, being the instrument of God to heal somebody. It created such a stir that the people of that city said Paul and Barnabas were gods come down from heaven, and they tried to offer sacrifice and worship these two men. No sooner do they try to worship these two men than a few other people come in and stir the crowd the other way, and they stone him. Talk about a fickle bunch of folks. And mobs are always that way. Mobs can be very fickle. This way one day, that way the other day. Well, it happened with Jesus. On the Mount of Olives, as he approached Jerusalem, the crowd said, "Hosanna! Glory in the highest." A few days later, the same crowd said, "Crucify him! Crucify him." That's happening here to Paul and Barnabas. Now, if ever there was a time to question God, whether he loves you or not, whether he's really called you or not, I suppose it's when you're being stoned because you're doing his will. Now, wait a minute, God, I didn't sign up for that. But this is what he gets. Be very easy and tempting to question God, God's love, and God's call. Now, that is the historical record, what we just noticed. But what I'm interested in is how Paul interprets these experiences. Ready for this? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is the apostle looking back on these episodes. 2 Corinthians 1. He's looking back from this point, back to some of the events that we just read. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8. "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life." Here's the great, strong Apostle Paul saying, we were at the end of our rope. The New Living Translation puts verse 8, "We were crushed and completely overwhelmed, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die." Okay, but don't miss the next verse, because he tells you what he thinks of it. "Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." In other words, yeah, that was bad. But you know what? That caused me to trust God in a way I've never trusted him before. That's how he's interpreting this. Let's move on to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 4. But in all things we commend ourselves. By the way, no better sound than hearing Bible pages turn. I want it recorded. In all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, that is beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults or riots, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. In other words, Paul is saying, let me tell you why I'm qualified, because I suffered, and I suffered a lot. Go on to chapter 11. As you can see, he writes a lot about this. In verse 23, he asks, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. Now he gives us his qualifications. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Five different occasions, he got 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Now, understand that he's not speaking pharmacologically. He's speaking, it's not like, but you know, you have to delineate this in this day and age. He's speaking probably about the experience we read about in Acts, where he was taken outside the city and stoned with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and the day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren. What marked his life? Perils. A string of perils. In weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Look at the 30th verse. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. What does he mean? He means that this curriculum of pain and suffering that he went through was not wasted time. It's something now so precious to him, he brags about it. He boasts about it. I heard of a woman who went to her pastor. True story. I think the pastor was Dr. Warren Wiersbe. And she was suffering. She had been asking for prayer from the elders for quite some time. And on this particular Sunday, the pastor turned and said, I want you to know we've been praying for you. And she turned and said, Pastor, thank you, but can I ask, what exactly have you been praying for? And a little taken off guard, he said, well, we prayed that God would give you strength, that God would give you comfort, and that God would heal you, if that's his will, that God would heal you. And she said, Pastor, thank you, but there's one other thing I think you ought to pray. Pray that this time of suffering, that I won't waste it. Interesting request. Lord, help me not to waste this time of suffering. Do you remember what James wrote in that little epistle? If any man ask wisdom, let him ask of God who gives freely or liberally and doesn't chide or upbraid. Do you know that that is a promise given to us in the context of suffering, trials? Listen to the whole context. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you might be complete and entire, lacking nothing. If anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives freely. In other words, when we suffer, when we're going through a trial, one of our prayers ought to be, Lord, give me wisdom not to waste any of this precious time. What is it you're trying to teach me? What lessons should I be learning? Lord, don't let this be wasted time. We're coming close to the heart of Paul's perspective on suffering here. Because he just said, I boast in my infirmities. I want you to listen carefully as I read to you the words of the late Malcolm Muggeridge, a brilliant thinker in our times until he went to heaven. He writes this, contrary to what might be expected, I look back on experiences that at the time seemed especially desolating and painful with particular satisfaction. Indeed, I can say with complete truthfulness that everything I've learned in my 75 years in this world, everything that has truly enhanced and enlightened my experience has been through affliction and not through happiness. Boy, it's worth listening to that with open ears. Learning the lessons of affliction. So that's the curriculum. Emotional suffering, 101. Physical pain, 101. Now let's look at a couple of midterm exams. Chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. There are two tests that Paul brings up. One was where God lifted him. The second is where God humbled him. One was exaltation. The second was affliction. Let's look at the first. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now, he just said, I'm not going to boast in anything except my sickness, my infirmities. Now he says, look, I don't want to brag or anything, but I have seen a lot of visions and had a lot of revelations in my life. But he continues, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. How he was caught up into paradise. And he heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, would you agree this is one of those weird, mysterious Bible texts? We read through it and we go, what is that? What is he referring to? Most believe, self included, that Paul is writing about himself. But he writes about himself in the third person, which is a typical rabbinical way of storytelling. To write about yourself, I know a guy, and then to identify himself. Because though he's writing in the third person, he speaks about this experience with the authority that only one who's gone through it could write about.
There are some things in life that we need to experience firsthand in order to truly learn and grow from them. And unfortunately, painful times often fall into that category. The good news, however, is that our pain is only temporary, because someday soon Jesus Christ is returning to take us to heaven, where pain will forever be a distant memory. With that cheerful thought in mind, we're going to have to end our time for today. But before we do, Halloween is almost here, which means a lot of focus on the occult. However, is all of that just really fun and games, or could the occult's prominence in our culture be something we should be worried about? Here's a new DVD that provides some answers to those kinds of questions.
How far and how fast has America fallen? Have we learned any lessons from the past? The kings of Israel led their nation into evil and idolatry with inevitable consequences. Our country is in death spiral, and media is doing everything to accelerate the decline.
Kids are desperate for answers today, and they're looking in all the wrong places.
Your family can combat the onslaught of evil, but you need to be informed. You can take practical steps. Shattered is a new full-length video documentary hosted by Skip Heitzig.
Evil has never had more allies in the media than now. But God's grace can shatter every deception and reveal the truth about Jesus Christ.
Shattered puts the bright light of truth on the dark world of music, media, and gaming.
The parent has to understand their kids are being raised in the United States of entertainment.
Available at shatteredthedvd.com or call 1-800-922-1888. Shattered. Available now from Connection Communications.
And also, if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, just call 1-800-922-1888. We'll send you a copy on CD for just $6, including shipping, and anything you share above that suggested donation will be used to help us continue this daily ministry of studying God's Word. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or visit us on the web at connectionradio.org. And you can also write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Examine more about how pain can often help us grow in our walk with God and how it helped Paul continue on his long road to Rome. So join us next time here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.